This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy careening through the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Mara Silvers. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
I'm Shaylee Riker. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
And I'm Kevin Trevlin. I cover the State House for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm a Report for America fellow.
It's week 10 of the session. As of midday on Thursday, 1,121 bills have been introduced, and Governor Greg Gianforte has signed 38 bills into law. This week, we wanted to take a minute to break down what made it across the transmittal deadline, what failed, and where the session is going next. So, Shaylee and Kevin, looking back over the last couple of months, what stands out to you as the major policy that made it across the finish line, so to speak, of the first half of the session?
So Republican leaders are really touting two bills in particular that have already been signed into law. One of them expands where people can carry concealed firearms, including in state government buildings, banks, and on college campuses. That one was pretty controversial as it made its way through the session. And this has been a longstanding GOP priority, especially because Democratic governors vetoed prior bills that would have expanded so-called constitutional carry rights. Republican Governor Greg Gianforte also signed a bill limiting COVID-19 civil liability for businesses, and that was a major condition for him getting rid of the statewide mask mandate that rankled a lot of Republican voters and lawmakers for months.
Yeah, so those were two big bills that happened pretty early on. What about the policy that's still making its way through the legislative process?
We're seeing pretty quick movement on a handful of bills that would cut the business equipment, capital gains, and personal income taxes. Gianforte and GOP legislative leaders say these proposals are critical to fulfilling some of the goals they outlined before the session, including to jumpstart the economy after some slowdown during the pandemic, and to make Montana more business-friendly. GOP-sponsored bills to improve broadband internet infrastructure and widen access to telemedicine are also seeing a lot of support within the caucus.
And as we've talked about before, Republicans hold really solid majorities in both the House and the Senate. What about Democrats? How much policy have they successfully passed so far?
They haven't had a ton of success passing policy that they're spearheading that didn't already have a lot of bipartisan support. So Democrats claim that a lot of the Republican bills mentioned earlier provide relief to large corporations and wealthy Montanans, and not necessarily those who have been hit hardest by the pandemic. As a sort of counter, they've introduced their own tax bills that they said would give more help to low and middle income Montanans. These policies would have offset property tax and rental costs, exempted some Social Security income from the state income tax, and expanded the state's earned income tax credit, but none of them made it very far through the legislative process. Democrats also put a lot of effort behind a bill to raise the minimum wage in Montana, which we're seeing a lot of interest for nationally on the left, but that one didn't gain much traction among Republicans either.
Shaylee, when it comes to COVID-19, what kind of bills did we see drafted that were a response to the pandemic?
Yeah, so the COVID-19 pandemic really highlighted special powers that local public health officials and the governor's office have during a state of emergency. For example, former Democratic Governor Steve Bullock unilaterally extended the state of emergency in Montana and put in place a statewide mask mandate. Local boards of health were able to restrict hours of operation at businesses. And Republican lawmakers are really looking to rein those powers in. So two notable bills that have advanced right under the wire are House Bill 121 and House Bill 230, which would essentially give elected leaders oversight over the executive and local public health officials during a state of emergency. Democrats unsuccessfully pushed back against these bills, saying they would undercut these officials' ability to deal with public health emergencies. But Mara, the other big theme that Republicans are talking less about are the social issue policies that they've been pushing, and Democrats have been pretty upset about them. Can you talk us through what passed and what failed?
Sure. So I think it's safe to say that all of the bills that I'm going to talk about are not the things that Republican leadership are touting during the transmittal break as things that they've accomplished as caucuses, but they are definitely the focus of Democrats and a lot of opponents. So these mostly have to do with abortion restrictions. There's a slate of four bills that have made it pretty far through the process. Three of them are headed to the governor's desk. One of them is going back to the House to clear a final hurdle after being revised in the Senate. And then the next package of social issue bills have to do with LGBTQ rights kind of across the board. So early on in the session, we saw House Bills 112 and 113. Those respectively would ban transgender women and girls from participating in school sports. And House Bill 113 would have restricted medical access for transgender youth who are looking to pursue gender-affirming treatment. House Bill 113 did fail on the House floor. And just a couple of weeks later, the bill came back in a slightly different form under the name House Bill 427. And that bill was more limited. It would restrict fewer types of medical care for minors who are dealing with gender dysphoria, specifically surgery that is pretty rare for minors to receive in general, but advocates say is very impactful for minors who need it. On the Senate side, there are two other bills. One of them, Senate Bill 280, would require surgery and a court order before a transgender person can change their gender that's listed on their birth certificate. That bill would reverse an administrative rule that went into effect under the Bullock administration. Lawmakers say that the state health department should not have enforced that change through a rule, and instead it should have gone through in legislation. The other bill that I'm looking at on the Senate side is Senate Bill 215. This is a little bit more complicated. Essentially, it would give people who have a religious belief the ability to use that religious belief as a defense, a legal defense, if their actions are challenged in court. So this is called a Religious Freedom Restoration Amendment. All of those bills have advanced through their respective houses. And so in the second half of this session, we're going to be watching how far those continue to get. Shaylee, looking forward to the rest of the session, what do you expect to be some of the big themes?
Yeah, the two big things that are coming up are how the budget shakes out and what policies ultimately get across the finish line. So Representative Lou Jones is chair of the House Appropriations Committee, which means he's basically the conductor of lawmakers orchestrating the budget. He says that first thing as lawmakers start the second half of the session, the Appropriations Committee will be hearing presentations from the subcommittees that analyze specific sections of the budget. So like health and human services and education. And so there's still tons of work to be done to kind of piece together the state's budget. The latest state general fund balance sheet shows a 1.5% negative structural balance in the budget. And so if nothing changes, that would mean that the state would spend more money than it brings in. But of course, we expect to see lots of changes and spending cut over the next half of the session. Here's what Representative Jones said about that.
You know, currently you can see the pressure that the spending on the status sheet is above the revenues. Now, of course, we have gotten a couple revenue updates that indicate revenue will be better. And so that too will impact the status sheet.
We also expect to see a lot of debate over how the state will use new tax revenue on marijuana sales and how that substance should be regulated for recreational use. There are pretty varying views on both those points.
Shaylee, we should say there will still be moves on the policy front, not just the budget side of things, in the next part of the session. What are you watching there?
Republicans are advancing a bill that would have Supreme Court justices elected by district in Montana. That policy was previously suggested in 2011 and then later struck down by the Supreme Court. So we'll see how that plays out. And then Republicans also want to eliminate same-day voter registration in Montana. So we'll be keeping an eye on those bills.
Yeah, definitely a lot of policy to be keeping our eyes on. Kevin, Shaylee, thank you so much for your time.
Glad to be here.
Of course.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.